This hour of the Jason Rand Show is brought to you by Primary Residential Mortgage, PRMI. Lots of news is happening all around the world and right here at home. So let's find out what's trending.
What's trending in King County?
Voter turnout in King County might hit 90%. That is unheard of. That is an insane number. That means even Peyton ends up voting. And already, just over the course of Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, don't have Sunday's numbers yet, but Thursday, Friday, and Saturday, about 60,000 ballots have already been turned in. These are ballots that have been put into drop boxes around King County. They were starting to get full. Staff members had to clear them out routinely. Kendall Hodson is the chief of staff for King County Elections. She spoke to Como TV.
Clearly, the voters answered. I think this has been an unprecedented weekend in terms of the number of folks we've seen dropping ballots off at drop boxes.
Now, some folks prefer, as Amy does, the drop box experience over the putting it in a mailbox experience.
It makes me feel like I am directly in control of it being delivered, my vote being delivered.
I mean, that's a ridiculous position to take because it's literally the same thing. One person is picking said ballot up and then delivering it versus the UPS, another person picking it up and delivering. It doesn't matter.
It's about how she feels, Jason.
I know. I'm saying her feelings are not valid.
Well, yeah, they're wrong.
That's all
they're
I'm
dumb,
saying.
But
they're
how she
equally
feels.
It's the same thing. But okay, fine. I mean, at this point, I put my ballot in the mailbox yesterday. I took a photo, and at some point, I'm going to post it on Instagram at Virtue Signal.
On a Sunday?
Yeah, I just dropped it into the mail.
Why? Nobody comes and picks up the mail on Sundays?
Because I was going to forget to do it today, and I was there, and I could do it yesterday. It's in my apartment complex. It's all safe. It's locked up. It'll get picked up today. It's probably already been picked up. I don't care how you do it. You should be voting. Now, I will say, an early showing like this in King County generally means it's not good for Donald Trump, generally speaking. However, Donald Trump was never going to win King County. Let's be clear about that. He's not going to win Washington State. That is an unfortunate reality. However, this is not good for Republicans in Washington State as a whole, because when you've got this particular county, when King County is voting like this, it means a bunch of Democrats are voting.
2016, you know, I had the luxury of sitting back, but I still voted. But it didn't feel like the impact of the vote was going to be as felt as strongly across every marginalized community.
Every marginalized
as this one
community?
Does.
Oh, wow. I mean, every single one?
Every Whoa. Last one.
That's insane. Now, of course, what he just said, generally speaking, is, of course, factually inaccurate. Now, it's possible that he has those feelings, right? And those are his wrong feelings to have. But marginalized communities have fared better under President Trump than under President Obama. When you look at, for example, unemployment records, way better under Trump than under Obama, the media would have you believe otherwise, generally speaking. Doesn't matter, though, does it? He is motivated. He has decided that he's going to step up and vote. And there are a lot of people right now who are motivated. There's a brand new coffee shop. It's called Black Coffee Northwest. It's on Aurora Avenue. They opened over the weekend. Saturday, in fact, in Shoreline. And as cars were driving up and waiting for their order, the co-owner took the opportunity to remind people we've got an election going on.
We knew we're going to have a crowd here. We're going to take every opportunity we can to make sure everyone's registered to vote. If you've gotten your ballot, that you have voted.
If you vote for Trump, they throw a latte in your face. I kid.
That's like a free latte.
I'm kidding. I don't know if they do that. They could actually give you a freebie. Probably not, though, because it still is King County. Here's the deal. You need to vote early. This is not about Donald Trump. This is more about King County voters, especially if these numbers are coming from Seattle. This is about King County voters making it harder for Lauren Culp, Matt Larkin, Maya Espinoza, Kim Wyman, Joshua Fried. This is about making it harder for a Democrat to win. Which is why I was definitely glad to hear that Secretary Kim Wyman had this to say about Thurston County.
In Thurston County, for example, 5 days after the ballots had been sent to voters, they already were at 28% return rate, which is, you know, just off the chart from what they normally would see.
That is awesome. But Thurston County is not as big as King County, which means we've got to get all the other counties out there that you're currently in, live in, listening to me in, to step up and vote. That means if you live in Sultan or Bellevue or Bonnie Lake or Gig Harbor, you need to make sure you vote. You vote soon. You vote early. The earlier you vote, the easier it is for folks who are running these campaigns to realize they don't have to spend time calling you or texting you or mailing final mailers to you because they already know that you voted. You are saving them money. If you do not want Renton and Snohomish and Issaquah and Covington and Port Orchard to become Seattle, what do you have to do, Producer Peyton? Say vote.
You have to vote.
You have to vote. Vote now. Vote early. Do not put it off. Because what you also need to do is step up and talk to your friends and family and neighbors. You need to get more involved in rejecting 99. In saying yes to Lauren Culp. In Washington's 8th District, that's Issaquah, Covington, Auburn, Cleellum, Ellensburg, you're stepping up and you're saying yes to Jesse Jensen. Everyone needs to step up and do just a little bit more than what you've done in the past. Because on the left, they are excited, they are pumped. They are inspired by the idea that they boot Donald Trump out of office, which means they are voting in larger numbers. You cannot let them outvote you. At the end of the day, Washington State as a whole is more conservative than the results would have you believe. But the results are what they are because a whole bunch of people in Seattle vote. And the folks who are listening right now in Bellingham or Centralia or Buckley, y'all choose not to vote sometimes. The activist in Seattle is going door to door and hanging out on the corners of streets on Capitol Hill, and they're getting people to vote. But the mom who's listening to me right now in Spanaway, or the family in Squim, they're voting. Cool, thank you for that. That's awesome. What else are you doing? What is a small business owner in Wenatchee doing? Or Woodinville? Just voting? That's not enough. If everyone right now put it on themselves to contact 10 voters to get them to vote, we can win this. We can put Lauren Culp in the governor's mansion. We can put Matt Larkin as attorney general. We can write in Joshua Fried as lieutenant governor. But you can't simply vote. You have to be activated. You have to say you're going to walk in your neighborhood in Olympia and Darrington and Monroe and Index, as small as it is. Although the amount of walking you have to do in Index is actually quite a lot. But it's worth it. Because we need to win this. It's on you. You have all the power in the world. You just need to be able to utilize it. So will you utilize it? Send me a text. Be honest. Tell me what you are going to do to step up. You can send me a text at 1-800-465-8770. That's 1-800-465-8770. We come back. We're going to take a road trip to Utah where a student was bullied. Why? Because he dared to say proudly that he supports Donald Trump. We're going to get into that and so much more. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? big picture.
So a 15-year-old kid with either a cool name or a dweeby name, I'm actually not quite sure where I fall on this, he was bullied at his high school because he dared to wear a MAGA hat. His name is Braxton McElhaney. Braxton could be cool.
Depends if he's playing quarterback or not. You know, if he is, then
I'm still a little
cool.
On the fence as to whether or not I'm going to bully him for having that name. He's a sophomore over at West Jordan High School in Utah, and apparently two girls didn't just spit on him or spat on him. They called him names. They got physical.
The two girls, they kept antagonizing me, calling me a racist, saying I look and calling me a white supremacist, white privileged, because I was wearing my Trump hat.
Oh my gosh, he wore a Trump hat, which they ripped off of his head, along with his glasses that they stepped on. They took his American flag face mask, threw it in the dumpster, and they spit on his face, he tells KUTV.
If they were just to, like, sit down and talk with someone and learn about the other side and the other parties, then there would be a lot more understanding and less hate from one side towards another.
That's a great bit of commentary, isn't it? Isn't that a great bit of commentary? If only people would actually sit down and talk to each other rather than simply judge each other, we would be light years ahead of where we are. This would be a national news story if it was a black kid or Latino kid or Asian kid who was supporting Obama or Biden or Hillary who had to face this kind of nonsense from Trump supporters. Period. That would be a national story. And that this isn't a national story is rather telling. Telling in that CNN is hyper-selective in their outrage, their phony outrage. And I think at the end of the day, the reason why you're not really hearing about this story nationally is that there are some folks in the media, not all, some, that believe this kind of behavior is essentially justified. They would never actually endorse it, but they kind of get why two girls might do this to a Trump supporter. It's a little bit of a wink and a nod. They'll not be specific. They'll not tell you should be doing this. Kind of in the same way that they non-judgmentally covered the peaceful protests. With Don Lemon literally saying, I'm not going to judge, as people were looting retail stores. I'm not going to judge. Because he believed, that it's justified. Same thing here. His mom said she can barely get through watching a video of what happened to this kid and posted online.
It brings me to tears every time I watch it. And I can't believe that people who are on that side and try to push love and acceptance and toleration of other people, and then they are so against somebody who's just a patriot.
When did this become okay? When did this become okay? When did political positions get you bullied in high school? When did supporting a president, any president, end up getting you attacked? But we're told the division is coming from Donald Trump. Trump is the one who's causing all of this violence against his own supporters. We're told over and over and over again, the problem is from Donald Trump. He is tearing this nation apart. It kind of sounds like it's the left in this case tearing the nation apart. It's the left rioting on city streets, burning down businesses, trying to murder cops. It's the left in this case attacking this kid for being a Trump supporter. When did we get to the point where we allowed this to happen in our schools? You are supposed to pick on the kids who are overweight or short or have weird hair. That's who you're supposed to pick on.
The ones with all the acne.
and the funny teeth, they're all like, what's going on? And then, but then when they get braces to actually fix their funny teeth, then you make fun of them for trying to fix their funny teeth. Although weirdly, you also make fun of the kid for being fat, but then when he loses all the weight, you make fun of him for losing all the weight.
Or you still call him fatty.
Or you still call him fatty, and then, oh my gosh, then there's...
the tuba section? You make fun of the tuba section?
Well, that, yeah, that's obvious. I thought we didn't have to point that one out.
Oh, no.
You got I mean, and any men who wear, who play the clarinet.
Jason, we strive for equality on this radio show, so I will point out everyone who we make fun of in high school.
I'm kidding. You shouldn't make fun of anybody, except for the kid that smells. Because if you don't, they're going to go through life thinking it's okay to never shower. I said it. It's true. It's true.
Good on you.
But you shouldn't. I mean, you got to do it in a PC way.
Good on you. No, I'm glad that you're doing this work. You are you are molding the next generation.
Not all heroes wear capes. I'm kidding, though. You shouldn't bully anybody, kids who are listening, except, you know the kid you should bully. I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. Or am I? I am. Stop it. I'm talking to myself. Braxton's father said this is part of the bigger picture issue that's happening on high school campuses.
The way that he was treated, the way that a lot of people are treated with all of this divide that we have going on in our country, and it's ridiculous.
He's right. He's right. You can't fault him for that. He is 100% correct. Let's find out what else is trending.
What's trending? Let's get political.
So, for the most part, you're getting media silence on the Hunter Biden, Joe Biden scandal, where emails purportedly show some obvious shenanigans, we'll just call them. It's not a good look. Getting Hunter Biden a job, using your position as vice president to do it. Then there are these ties to going after the prosecutor who was going after Burisma, which is the business that you helped get your son a job with. Kind of shady stuff. And for the most part, if it gets discussed on CNN or on MSNBC, what are they doing? They're claiming that this is a Russian disinformation campaign. Because everything is about Russia and Donald Trump.
Last week, Giuliani and former Trump official Steve Bannon provided the New York Post with unverified emails, allegedly linking one of Hunter Biden's Ukrainian partners with a possible meeting with Joe Biden when he was vice president. A meeting the Biden campaign says never took place.
Here it comes.
Experts say the emails cannot be authenticated. Some may have been altered or are fake.
Oh, they're altered or are fake. Oh my gosh. On Twitter, you've got a lot of check marks saying this is a Russian disinformation campaign. Rachel Maddow was all about that angle. Kyle Griffin of MSNBC, all about that angle. Jonathan Chait, I think of The Atlantic now, all about that angle. Or no, he's New York Magazine. Except, not only did over the weekend Fox News confirm at least some of the emails, because they got in contact with someone who was on the email chain who goes, yeah, that's true. Fox News obtained additional Hunter Biden materials. You have the Director of National Intelligence coming out, we'll play this audio a little bit later, saying this is not a Russian disinformation, there's no connection to Russia. Remember, the FBI is actually looking into this. Senate committee looking into this. And you know how you can tell at this point, even though I think the story itself, at least as originally presented, was a little bit shady, you know how you can tell that this is true? No one from the Biden campaign will say the emails are fake.
No one's denouncing it.
Literally no one has said that. No one has said that. They've said it's nonsense. They said, well, Twitter took it down, so that proves it's fake. No one from the campaign has said the emails aren't authentic. Is that not weird? If they're not authentic? Wouldn't you just say they're not authentic and move on?
Seems like a pretty simple solution.
I don't, and here's the thing. I don't even think it's all that damaging. I think politicians or anybody who's wealthy and well-connected get jobs for their kids and their friends. I don't think the American people look at that part of this story, not the prosecutor, but that is very clearly damaging. But just the whole getting Hunter Biden a job, I don't think that people care. And yet they're making it so much more of a deal, the Biden campaign, than it should be. When we come back, the big local.
Yeah. Quinnipiac, Olympia, Sammamish, Lakewood, Bellevue.
This is the Big Local on the Jason Ranch Show.
Bellingham, Kirkland, Z-Town.
Stories about you, not about Seattle.
Hey, look at that, 4:30 on a weekday afternoon. That means it's time for the Big Local, where we focus on all the neighborhoods and communities and cities you live in and completely ignore the city of Seattle. Although, according to Section 12, Subsection C, dash 1, 2, poop emoji, 3, weird star, and a symbol I still can't figure out in the bylaws of the segment, say we can, in fact, talk about Seattle if we rag on them.
Where do you keep the rule book? I can't
find it. It's right
there. Where?
It's literally over there in the corner.
I've never seen this book a day in my life. Can I read it?
No. I mean, it's not. There's more. I've got personal stuff in there.
Okay, fine. You just keep coming up with all the rules.
Me and Jeffrey Toobin have something we need to talk about a little bit later. Redfin has a new report out. And they say that Tacoma was the fastest selling real estate market in the entire country. And this is the third month in a row in which they were the fastest selling real estate market. And the question then becomes, well, why? Not because we don't love Tacoma. We do, including the aroma. But the question is, well, why specifically? What's going on there? And it would appear, at least in part, it is the Seattle escape in action. Now, I've said on this show many times that I do not think we will return to quote-unquote normalcy when we're talking about going into the office. In-office life will not return to what it once was after COVID. Mostly because so many businesses, and some of this is industry specific, but so many businesses found out that their employees are either as efficient or more efficient with remote work instead of forcing them to come into the office. On top of that, they're happier. They're spending more time with their kids or their spouses or their mistresses. And they're just having way more of a life-work balance because they're not spending so much time either stuck in traffic or living in a tiny home in Seattle that's incredibly expensive, but they only took it so they can be closer to the office. People realize that remote work is working so much better than they ever anticipated. And you've got businesses like REI selling massive campuses to let their employees work from home. And maybe they'll open up smaller remote offices across the country or across the state that they're in or the region that they're in. And maybe you'll come in once or twice, maybe three times a week, but the bulk of the work might be done at home. Starbucks seems to be trending in that direction. A lot of the tech companies are going in that direction, it seems, as well. So if you don't need to live close to Seattle where your work is, if you don't need to live in that small, expensive home, why not then move to Tacoma, where the deals there are through the roof? But of course, it's not just about Tacoma. You look at Puyallup and Bothell and Covington, Mount Vernon. These are places where you don't have to worry about the commute. You get more space for your dollars. You've got good school districts. And it's just a better quality of life. Now, on top of that, what do you got? Low interest rates. Shout out to Primary Residential Mortgage, PRMI. Great sponsor. It's who I go to if you would need financing on that home. But you've got low interest rates. And so you're getting some really, really good deals. And the question now becomes, are cities preparing for life after COVID? Because if you think everything's returning to normal, it ain't. Meanwhile, a dude in Prosser accidentally burned his trailer home down while he was high, while he was trying to chase off a family of raccoons. 38-year-old dude was on some kind of narcotic. They don't actually tell us what it is. He was just sort of chilling in his trailer home. And he started to get annoyed by the loud, feisty, family of raccoons that were living underneath his RV, his trailer. And so he decided now's the time to do something about it. Doesn't tell us what exactly he did about it. But during the process of however it was he was dealing with these raccoons, he knocked over a candle, fire caught, fire spread, and bam, trailer is destroyed. Now the good news is, of course, no one was hurt. What do they call me, producer Peyton?
They call you Detective Rance.
Why do they call me Detective Rance?
Because you solve cases that real detectives don't care about.
I'm about to do that here. Because I am curious about something. What narcotics was he on?
Well, they don't tell us in the
story. They don't. However, what do they call me?
They call you Detective Rance.
Exactly. I'm able to deduct some basic facts without even having to prove that they are said facts.
Okay.
By stories.
Let's hear it.
Now, Prosser means the person's either on meth, heroin, or weed. Okay?
You just narrowed it down right
there. I narrowed it down to those three.
Wow.
But that's not an answer. That's three. And then we look at trailer. Probably also means meth, heroin, or weed. So didn't really get anywhere, did we?
No, not at all. Still in the same place.
However, young Peyton, what burned the RV down? A candle.
A candle, yes.
The question then becomes, what kind of candle? Because if it was an unscented candle, it means heroin. Because you're cooking the heroin.
Okay.
However, if it's a scented candle, it means weed. You're just kind of chilling, and you got that little scented candle of apple pie, and you're starting to get hungry, and then all of a sudden the raccoons are there, and it's killing your buzz, killing your vibe. There you go. So it's not meth. It's either heroin or it's weed. It's not weed.
Okay.
Because I don't think you got a lot of scented candles in trailers.
Nor do you have people burning down their trailers when they get high on weed?
Probably less so.
I don't like how you frame this story, by the way. I think there was a much better way to frame this man. We could have said, Washington man...
Frame this man. I mean, my heroin. I set him up.
No, but...
It was the raccoon's heroin.
The picture that you painted across this man, like he's just some junkie living in a trailer...
I didn't say that.
You could have said, Washington man sacrifices everything in fight for life against a family of raccoons. Then he sounds like a shining star.
I mean, I could have lied about the story. That is true. It is theater of the mind.
What lie did I say? Did I say a lie? This man sacrificed everything in a fight against some raccoons. He is from Washington.
Well, a fight against raccoons, I think, suggests that the raccoons fought back, and there's no evidence to suggest
that. The raccoons started it. They came up into his property.
Living. They were literally just living.
Under his trailer.
Yeah, well, you don't know who was there first.
You think the trailer parked on top of the raccoons?
The dude was high on narcotics, so yes, I think that was certainly a possibility. Just throwing that out there.
I don't know, man. Cut the guy some slack.
Finally, I love that in the world of coronavirus, you've got drive-through options. You can go and drive through and get a shot, like your flu shot. You can get COVID tested. You can pull into the Best Buy and they'll bring out the garbage you just bought.
What was the haunted place that had a drive-through that we just talked about the other day?
But then we're getting into that. The stuff I don't really like.
Oh, you
don't
like
that? The haunted house in Snohomish. Okay. Don't like that. Now we've got one. At the Puyallup Fair. No, I will not call it the Washington State Fairgrounds.
A dinosaur adventure like never before. Featuring 80 life-sized dinosaurs and massive family fun.
Dinosaur Adventure Drive-Thru is now open Thursday through Sunday through November 1st. You drive through what they're saying is a prehistoric tour featuring those 80 life-sized dinosaurs. Dinosaurs aren't real, so they can't be life-sized.
What's life-sized?
They're just in movies. They don't actually exist.
Life-sized according to Jurassic Park?
Yes. I mean, there are a dum-dum that you do know they have the skeletal remains, and they can figure
out. Those aren't proven to be true.
Okay. Put here by aliens.
Bingo.
You're going to see a 40-foot T-Rex, a 30-foot Bronchiosaurus, and then they don't give you any more of the length, so I'm assuming the Triceratops and the Velociraptors are really, really tiny. all from the discomfort of your own vehicle. It's actually kind of expensive, although you can fit up to 8 people in a car, and they'll only charge you $49 Thursday and Friday. And then, and it says starting at $49 per car, so I don't know where the where else it goes. Then Saturday and Sunday, it's $59.
Experience the thrill of the prehistoric age featuring a 40-foot T-Rex, Triceratops, Velociraptor, and many more.
Velociraptor. Got it. So I went and looked at the video. It's from an old commercial when you actually went into and stood in front of and didn't have to socially distance.
Like the ones from the Tacoma Dome?
Yeah.
Like it's the same exact exhibit?
Same thing, except this one's just it sounds way less interesting.
This one's more Jurassic Parky.
Is it, though?
I mean, you used to
they're
drive...
not real.
You used to drive in the Jeeps
death.
Through there. You don't know that they're real. What if they are?
You just said they don't exist. You just said that it's all fake.
Do you think everything I say is true? Because they...
No, I definitely don't think that. They say... You can also get Fisher scones, Dino chicken nuggets, and other fair food to go. So you can't even walk off all those empty calories. You're just sitting in your car, getting fat, and inhaling the exhaust of the cars in front of you. This sounds awful. Well, maybe a kid will love it.
It's
maybe.
The same thing that they've had for the last few months where we can drive through, go get really good fair food.
No,
but
you...
But now... Yeah, I love it.
Fat face over
did
there.
Did it twice.
All those, well,
awesome.
I bet you did.
Went to the barbecue place, got some mac and cheese and some brisket.
What's the burger thing called? The earthquake burger?
Earthquake burger.
Yeah, you
yeah.
got one of those?
I didn't. I did the barbecue both
you
times.
You got the scum.
You got a baker's dozen for myself while the rest of my friends all shared their own, yeah. But I needed my own bag.
Fatty McFatty.
Fatty McFatty.
Eating it before you even got back home from Puyallup to Newcastle.
Oh, I...
You scarfed it all down.
No, I had a buddy in Puyallup, so I didn't have to wait to eat any. I just got to his house real quick.
1-800-465-877 if you want to join the conversation, send me a text message. Something embarrassing happened to Jeffrey Toobin. Detective Rance is on the case. Welcome back to the Jason Rance Show. New York Magazine, or excuse me, New Yorker, the magazine, suspended Jeffrey Toobin, a staff writer who's also a legal analyst over at CNN, after he exposed himself during a Zoom call. Who among us has not exposed oneself during a Zoom call?
I haven't.
Okay, I haven't either, but who among us haven't seen someone else expose themselves during a Zoom call?
I haven't.
Okay, I haven't either. Apparently, it was a Zoom call between staffers of New Yorker and WNYC Radio. Glad it wasn't TV. That is the one limitation of radio. We have theater of the mind, but it's still just theater of the mind. With that said, let's get into some theater of the mind.
I don't know if I want to.
Toobin put out a statement to Vice. I made an embarrassingly stupid mistake, believing I was off camera. I apologize to my wife, family, friends, and coworkers. He is not with the New Yorker this week. He's taking some time off while they investigate. CNN also said he's taking some time off. They're not investigating. They just said in a statement, Jeff Toobin has asked for some time off while he deals with a personal issue, which we have granted. We also found out that Toobin's official New Yorker email address has been disabled. And they noted that he hasn't tweeted since October 13th. I have some questions.
Please, ask away.
I fully acknowledge when things like this happen, it's not necessarily fair to jump to conclusions. And yet, here we all are jumping to conclusions as to what happened. To me, it seems a little weird to apologize to your wife if all that happened was you were naked, thinking you were off camera. I feel like if you're going to publicly apologize to your wife, maybe something else was being done in said Zoom call that you did not think people could see?
I mean, maybe, but maybe he just embarrassed her and felt bad for embarrassing her.
Was she embarrassed or is he embarrassed?
Both.
Because I don't know Jeffrey Toobin's wife. I don't know her name.
They could both.
Didn't know he was married. Didn't know he was heterosexual. I don't know any of this about him. I do know Jeffrey Toobin. And apparently a lot of people know him really, really well right now. I do feel bad for him. This was simply a mistake.
It doesn't matter. How is that a mistake? It's so bad.
It is awful. I get that in this world in which we're doing a lot of these meetings online via Microsoft Teams or Skype or Zoom, whatever it is. I get that because everyone now has easy access to jump on these meetings that they're sometimes held earlier in the morning, for example. I've definitely been in on a meeting that started at like 8 o'clock. And while I'm awake well before that, my day hasn't really officially started. I don't usually leave for the office until 8:30-ish. And I've been in positions where a meeting is called and I've got like a Fox News hit in the 9:30 to 10 o'clock range. And so I'm still kind of getting dressed. I'm picking out my tie. I'm usually fully dressed with the exception of the tie, but every once in a while, maybe I'm just wearing a tie. And I don't think that anyone can see because the camera is supposed to be turned off. And part of the wonders of this kind of technology is you don't have to even wear pants or anything else while on some of these calls because it's not like they need to see you every single time. Haven't you ever been caught with like hair that hasn't been combed during one of these Zoom calls? Because I definitely have.
My hair's like a centimeter tall.
Yeah, that's fine because you get the ugly bust.
I mean, I've been on tons of these Zoom calls since the pandemic started.
I've seen people with you on the call who clearly haven't done their hair. No. This is the same version of that. There have been times where
people forget. Exposing yourself is the same as not combing your hair?
I'm just saying not realizing that you are on a video. Sometimes people, you know how people accidentally keep their mute button off the whole time and they're talking. You're like,
yes.
Hey, Sally, your mute button's on, you dumb. Well, sometimes people do the opposite of that. And they leave their microphone on when they think it's off. And you hear things that you pray to God you'll never hear again, but can't get it out of your mind ever, no matter how hard you try, no matter how much meditation you're trying to do and counseling you've sought. You can't get it out of your head, that horrible thing that that person said to their lover on one of these calls. I'm just saying.
You got to figure some things out.
Oh, I know.